Virginia, who did once upon the horse. Suffer to redeem our loss. Alleluia. Hymns of praise then let us sing. Alleluia. Unto Christ our heavenly King. Sinners to redeem and save. Alleluia. But the pains which he endured. Alleluia. Our salvation have procured. Now above the sky he's King. Alleluia. Where the angels ever sing. Alleluia. Sing. Sing we to our God above. Alleluia. Praise eternal as his love. Alleluia. Praise him, all ye heavenly hosts.
Our liturgy today is on page 151. We begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us confess our sins to God, our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, I announce to you the grace of God and forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. Your right hand, O Lord, glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy. You have led in your steadfast love the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them by your strength in your holy dwelling. You will bring them in and plant them on your own mountain, the place, O Lord, which you have made for your abode, the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established. The Lord will reign forever and ever. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Worthy is Christ the Lamb who was slain, whose blood set us free to be people of God. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Our riches, wisdom, and strength, and honor, blessing, and glory are his. This is the feast of victory for our God.
Alleluia,
alleluia, alleluia. Sing with all the people of God and join in the hymn of all creation. Blessing, honor, glory, and might be to God and the Lamb forever. Amen. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. For the Lamb who was slain has begun his reign. Alleluia. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord be with you. Gracious God, through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, you have overcame death and opened to us the gate of everlasting life. We humbly pray that we may live before you in righteousness and purity forever. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our first lesson today is in Acts, as Peter brings the good news to the Gentiles. Acts chapter 10, beginning at verse 34. So Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly, I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, He is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him up on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A second lesson is in Colossians chapter 3. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please rise for the Holy Gospel.
Our Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
The Holy Gospel according to John chapter 20.
Glory to you, O Lord.
But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and he had said these things to her. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
This morning we speak the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our next hymn is "I Know That My Redeemer Lives," and that is number 461, 461.
Thank you.
He lives to plead for me above. He lives my hungry soul to feed. He lives to help in time of need. He lives to grant me rich supply. He lives to guide me with his eye. He lives to comfort me when faint. He lives to hear my soul's complaint. He lives to silence all my fears. He lives to wipe away my tears. He lives to calm my troubled heart. He lives all blessings to impart. He lives my kind, wise, heavenly friend. He lives and loves me to the end. He lives, and while he lives, I'll sing. He lives, my prophet, priest, and king. He lives and grants me daily breath. He lives and I shall conquer death. He lives, my mansion to prepare. He lives to bring me safely there. He lives all glory to his name. He lives, my Jesus, still the same. Oh, the sweet joy this sentence gives. I know that my Redeemer lives.
Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, musicians, for doing what you do. Thank you so much. Our text today focuses on these words of the angels and then Jesus to Mary Magdalene. The angel said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Well, they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" This is God's word. Our sermon series on Sundays in the Lenten season have been under the theme, Questions of Lent. The question today, why are you crying? Now, some of us German Lutherans, we just sort of keep our tears on the inside of our hearts. We feel safer that way. And others of us, we tend to wear our emotions on our sleeve for all to see, and that would include me. All of us are crying this morning, I would suggest to you, in view of a virus that is wreaking havoc on our world, physically, emotionally, and financially. Specifically today, we are crying because we can't be in our sanctuaries. Some of us are crying out of fear, some of us out of anger, some of us out of confusion, perhaps many of us, all of the above in combinations. One of our worst nightmares has come true today. By state order, our church doors are locked, but the abortion clinics remain open. Never thought I'd say that. On the one hand, we see that the forces of darkness seem to be winning the day, but on the other hand, we believe that the gates of hell will never prevail against the Church of Jesus Christ. On the one hand, it seems as though we are a nation and society hopelessly divided, but on the other hand, our hope in the church is built on Jesus Christ, His blood, and His righteousness. On the one hand, it seems as though good old-fashioned values and morality are dying. But on the other hand, we know that in Christ, the people of God are alive and well. Even more than that, Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. And in His own time, we believe in this place that He is working everything out for the good of those who love Him. Why are you crying? That was the question that my wife Debbie had for me about 20 years ago. It was in our parsonage kitchen, and we were having a little spat. And it seemed as though we were speaking two different languages. I was using the language of logic, and my wife was more the language of emotion. At a certain point, first of all, if my memory serves me correctly, Dick, I was right. Okay, I was right, and she began to cry. And when I asked her to tell me why she was crying, she just was sad that I really didn't understand what she was needing in that moment. The end of the story is that we embraced and we confessed our sins and we forgave as we have been forgiven. Why are you crying? That was a question one of my neighbors in Lewiston had for me 35 years ago or so. Her name was Ida, and she was a very kind and happy and fun-loving Christian woman, and she was struggling with cancer. And her husband called me up one day and said, if you want to talk to Ida one more time, you should probably come over today. And so I did. And when it came time for me to have a little devotion with her and to encourage her, I began to cry. And she looked at me and she said, well, why are you crying? I said, well, because you're dying. And she scolded me. She said, well, you know that I'm going to be with Jesus and I'll be just fine. And quit your crying. And she said, eat some, have some cookies and some coffee, and maybe that'll make you feel better. You see, she was already setting her mind on things above. That Christ was not only risen, but that He was ascended and sitting at the right hand of His Father. Why are you crying? That's the question my mom had for me. It was about a week before she passed away. And I was visiting and praying with her, and I was sitting at her bed, and as I was sharing some thoughts with her to encourage her, she did what a lot of folks have done during my preaching days. She fell asleep. And so I just sat by her, and I held her hand, and I started to cry. At which point she opened her eyes and she said, you're crying. I said, yes. Why? I said, well, I said, Mom, because you're dying, that's why. At which point she scolded me a little bit and she said, well, you know that I'm gonna be with Jesus. You see, she had already set her mind on things above. And she trusted that Christ was ruling all of heaven and earth, and that a mansion in heaven was for her. why are you crying? That was the question of the two angels to Mary early on that first day of resurrection. Mary Magdalene is one of five Marys in the New Testament. We know that she came from the village of Magdala on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. We know that before she met Jesus, she had been possessed by seven demons. We can only imagine how much Mary loved her master, how important he was to her, which explains why she was standing nearby when Jesus was crucified. It explains that why she was watching when his body was taken down and when Joseph of Arimathea wrapped the body of Jesus in linen and laid him in a tomb and rolled the heavy stone in place. Mary Magdalene was one of those watching. Her love for Jesus explains why she had purchased all kinds of spices, hoping to anoint this body to finish the burial process on Sunday morning before the sun came up. Why was Mary crying? Specifically, keep in mind that by the time the women had arrived at the tomb, Jesus had already risen up. Already there had been an earthquake, the seal had been broken, and the angels had rolled away the stone. Already the soldiers had been knocked unconscious, woke up, and they ran away in fear. Already the women had found the tomb empty. The angels had announced that Christ was risen. Already they had told the disciples the good news. The women that had already been dismissed as talking nonsense, already Peter and John had checked it out, and they were believing that the impossible had happened. And then Mary Magdalene had returned, and she just sat down and she bawled. Perhaps you've had those times in life where life just overwhelmed you. And we can imagine all of the thoughts racing through her mind in those moments. Her master being tortured, taunted, crucified, and now she can't even find the body. We think of Jesus bawling at the grave of Lazarus, even though he knew he would be raising him up in a few minutes. We think of Jesus sitting down on a hill outside of Jerusalem and looking out over Jerusalem and seeing all of their rebellion and impenitence, and Jesus overcome with tears. And so today we keep in mind that Jesus actually cries with us in our times of grief. Easter, as you know, is traditionally more about laughing and celebrating and wearing our spring clothing and doing what we love to do in the church, to celebrate and to sing and to commune and all of that. So with that in mind, two Easter truths. Is there something I can do differently? We're getting a little static here in the sanctuary. Up or down? Do something with it, huh? But two Easter truths in closing today. Easter truth number one is that Jesus is nearby and he knows us by name. Mary was looking for the Lord whom she had lost. She was beside herself with tears. Jesus looked deeply into her heart and he couldn't let it go on any longer. He revealed himself to her. He called her by name. And we learn from this little conversation that Jesus comes close to those who are crying. To those of you who are crying tears of regret today, he draws near with a word of forgiveness. To those crying tears of loneliness, he says to you today, I am with you always. To those of us crying tears of frustration, he says, be still and know that I am God. To those crying tears of who aren't even sure why you're crying, he says, well, I know you by name. Just keep listening to my voice. For those of you overwhelmed by darkness all around, the psalmist said it this way, "For his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning." The kingdom of God is like hundreds and even thousands and millions of Christians today and this week to come who spend their days looking for those who are crying, looking for those who need a calm presence, looking for opportunities to be encouraging. In response to God being ever so kind and patient with us, we go looking for situations where our kindness and patience can be helpful. In response to God not keeping a record of our wrongs, we go looking for people who need to know a word of grace. For folks, in response to all that Christ has done, we go looking for folks weighed down with regrets and good intentions. And in the name of Jesus, even though we need to stay 6 feet away from each other, we call people by name and we encourage them. Easter truth number two is that Jesus is sitting at the right hand of his Father this morning. He is ruling all of heaven and earth on behalf of his church, and he has important work for us to do. Few of us have experienced an Easter quite like this. I won't speak for anybody who has experienced the Gulf War or the Vietnam War or the Korean War or World War II or the Great Depression. I have no idea what that felt like on Easter Sunday, but I can speak for the rest of us anyway, who feel like there is a war going on, a worldwide war with a virus that is just claiming all kinds of victims these days. And there are those who are wondering if there is a God in heaven above, and if he is, why would he permit such destruction? This morning, there is a sense we rejoice this morning that Jesus Christ is alive. He is well, and he is who he said he was. We rejoice this morning that on the third day he rose again according to the scriptures, sitting at the right hand of the Father, and we are convinced in this place that as surely as spring follows winter, the day is coming when there will be a resurrection of the body, and there will be life everlasting. The kingdom of God is like hundreds and even millions of Christians this week who have all kinds of reasons to cry, but we know where to go with our tears. Our emotions are all over the map, but as often as we hear the Easter bells ringing, as often as the resurrection good news is delivered into our souls and minds through the preaching of God's word and the teaching of God's word and the remembering of that word, that often we look forward to. That place where all our tears will be wiped away. Until that day comes, we know, along with Mary, that we have a message to deliver, namely that Christ is alive and well, and he's worthy of our adoration. Even though nations are in an uproar these days, even though it seems like the gates of hell are prevailing these days, even when we are told to stay home and tempted to be huddling in fear tonight, Jesus Christ would come close to us. He would call us by name. He would invite us to keep listening to his voice, that he would wipe away our tears and would invite us one more time to set our minds on things that are above. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. We're going to sing, "Were You There?" verse 4. "Were You There?" Verse 4, which is, well, you know it.
causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when God raised him from the tomb?
Join me in prayer. Gracious Lord, today we thank and praise you for being who you are, for delivering on all of your promises, for rising up again on the third day, for appearing to many for 40 days, for ascending into heaven on the 50th day, for sending out your Holy Spirit, O Lord, on the day of Pentecost. We pray for churches across the world, in all of the nations, that in these days your name would be honored, that your cross will be lifted high, and that your empty tomb would be a source of encouragement for many. We pray for all those who are sick and struggling and dying in these days, for those that we name in our hearts, and for so many that are unknown to us. We pray that you would heal according to your will, that you would bring us through these days of virus, that you would bring us through to the future that you have prepared for us. In the strong name of Jesus Christ, we pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We enjoy special music at this time, a song called Man of Sorrows.
My death is paid, it is paid in full.
Receive the benediction of our triune God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you peace. And our closing hymn, our next hymn is number 480. He is risen. He's risen, number 480. Sing one more hymn, at least one more hymn, just because we can. 474, Alleluia, Jesus is risen, 474.
trumpetry sounding in glorious light. Splendor the Lamb, heaven forever. Oh, what a miracle God has in sight. Jesus is risen and we shall arise. Give God the glory, hallelujah. Walking the way, Christ in the center, telling the story to open our eyes, breaking our bread, giving us glory. Jesus, our blessing, our constant surprise. Jesus is risen, we shall arise. Give God the glory. Jesus the vine, we are the branches. Life in the Spirit, the fruit of the tree. Heaven to earth, Christ to the people. Gift of the future now flowing to me. Jesus is risen and we shall arise. Give God the glory, hallelujah. Being begone, sorrow be silent. Death put asunder and Easter is bright. Cherubim sing, O grave be open. Clothe us in wonder, adorn us in light. Jesus is risen and we shall arise. Give God the glory, hallelujah. Of God, Easter forever, golden in Jerusalem, Jesus the Lamb, river of life, saints and angels sing with creation to God the I Am. Jesus is risen and we shall arise. Glory, hallelujah.
And we're going to sing at least one more song. I think one more should bring us to the end of the hour. And that will be number 490, Jesus Lives, The Victory's Won, number 490 in your hymnals.
Throne high above all things. praise is given. I shall go where he is gone, live and reign with him in heaven. God is faithful, God means hands. This shall be my confidence. Jesus lives for me, he died. Hence will I to Jesus living. Pure in heart and act abide. Praise to him and glory giving. All I need God will dispense. This shall be my confidence. Jesus lives, I know full well. Nothing me from him shall sever. My sure defense, this shall be my confidence. Jesus lives and now is death, but the gate of life immortal. This shall call my trembling breath. When I pass its gloomy portal, faith shall cry as fails each sense, Jesus is my confidence.
Well, thanks for staying tuned to the end. We will be Facebook live streaming tomorrow morning our Bible study, which is focused on the lessons appointed for the next Sunday, which is the second Sunday in the Easter season. 10 o'clock will be focused on those lessons. And just to tantalize you a little bit, the first lesson appointed for next Sunday includes this statement from Peter: we must obey God rather than man. So you can imagine that it'll be a good study. It'll be a good study. Thanks again for musicians and production crew, and for people who have beautified this altar and made this sanctuary just a beautiful place to worship God. Have a great day of resurrection, everybody. Thank you.